When is it okay to sell paintings out of an art museum? I'm David Brancaccio. Monday, the Dow falls 650 points, Tuesday, 222 points. And as we speak, that stock market, and sometimes that general mood indicator, is down 5% week so far. In early trading here, the Dow is down 517 points, 1.7%. The S&P is down in a similar range. The NASDAQ is down 2%. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's not really quarterly corporate profits, is it?
No, earnings by and large have actually been okay.
All right, so what is it then? I mean, it's got to have something to do with coronavirus spread and hospitalizations.
For sure. Three big things. Increase in the number of virus infections, no stimulus before the election, and then importantly, that upcoming election where we don't have a clear outcome.
Right, because not just who wins or who loses, it's do we know in a timely fashion who wins or who loses?
Exactly. And markets hate uncertainty. That is an underlying theme people need to remember. When you don't know something, markets tend to get nervous and it leads to more volatility. We're definitely seeing that this week.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors Chicago office, head of U.S. equities. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Checking back in with markets, bonds are up, bringing down interest rates with the 10-year Treasury yield down at 0.76% this morning. I know it was already super low. We're now into the second day of Facebook's temporary ban on running new political ads. There were hiccups day one. Some political advertisers say they're having trouble with ads approved before the election blackout period. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has some specifics.
Advertisers and campaigns had until midnight Pacific time on Monday to submit new ads, and they had to receive at least one impression, meaning they had to have shown up on someone's screen by deadline to qualify. The goal here is to limit misinformation before Election Day.
But what changed yesterday?
Well, advertisers are complaining that ads that met the requirements were taken down, even though they had been running for weeks or had once run and were on pause. Facebook's product manager tweeted that the company is investigating the error.
And not everyone agrees this was even the right move to start with.
Yeah, critics say this is too little too late when it comes to misinformation on social media. And they also know that this doesn't give political groups a chance to respond to attacks from opponents or even share valuable information like last-minute changes to polling sites. Plus, this year we have an election season, not just election day. And lots of people already voted before the ad ban started.
And that's Facebook. What about other social media companies?
Well, Twitter hasn't been running political ads altogether for about a year now and recently turned off some features that help tweets go viral faster, like prompting users to avoid retweeting a news article if they haven't read it. And all these guidelines won't stop after Election Day. Facebook and Google are blocking political advertising after the polls close.
Kristen, thank you. The auction house Sotheby's is moving ahead with plans tonight to auction off two of three paintings from the collection of the Baltimore Museum of Art. Clifford Still's 1957G and Bryce Marden's Three are on the block. A separate private sale of Andy Warhol's The Last Supper is also planned. Museums sell works out of their collection. Deaccession is the term, to buy new art. But what the Baltimore Museum wants to do here has caused an uproar because some of the money raised is not to buy new art, but for other important operational expenses, including giving raises to museum guards. Art critic Blake Gopnik contributes to the New York Times and is author of a new comprehensive biography of Andy Warhol. Gopnik argues the guards very much need a raise, and he supports the museum's diversity initiatives. But he says at a time the numbers show the affluent are getting richer during pandemic, he thinks the museum should raise its $65 million by soliciting new donations, not by liquidating paintings. Blake, welcome.
Always a pleasure, David.
This spring, when most of us were focused on pandemic lockdowns, an association of museum directors decides that maybe it's also okay for museums to sell artworks and use that money for more operational things.
Museums have been in a really hard place. They've been losing attendance like crazy, which means that if you charge for attendance, you're losing money like crazy. So the Association of Art Museum Directors decided to open things up a little bit so that in this emergency, if you desperately needed cash and you were a museum, you could sell a few works, you know, just to tide you over for real emergency purposes. But that's not what happened at the Baltimore Museum of Art. They don't charge for admission, and they haven't been hurt financially in a really big way by the pandemic. They just decided to use this opening to sell some work to achieve all sorts of normal kind of operating goals.
Well, normal operating goals, they talk about fostering the cause of diversity and inclusion in their collection, but you're saying they want to sell some of this art for other things.
Well, they want to sell about $55 million worth of art in order to fund better salaries for the museum guards, for instance. And they want to stop charging for special exhibitions so that more kinds of people can come to the museum. And that's great. No one is objecting to that. The thing is, that's what you usually fundraise for, right? That's you go out begging and you say, give us some money so we can achieve these useful goals. You don't sell your most important works of art, because you're not really a museum if you don't have great works of art on the wall. Everyone who needs to see the thing gets to see it because it's on the wall of a museum. It doesn't just pass from one rich private collection to another one at auction.
Now, this has gotten pretty intense at the Baltimore Museum of Art in particular. They're reporting that some big donors are now thinking of changing their mind because they don't like this notion of selling off part of the collection.
Yeah, two former board chairs have said that the $50 million that they claim that they were going to give to the museum, they're not going to give anymore. Selling off major works of art that the museum has in its collection won't please future donors a whole lot, especially donors of art. I mean, it's hard to imagine someone giving their prize Picasso thinking, yeah, I'm giving it to the museum, but maybe in 10 years when they don't like Picasso so much anymore, or when they want to fund, more energy efficient light bulbs, they're going to sell the Picasso and it won't be, in a sense, my gift anymore. This could really open a Pandora's box for that museum and for any museum that sells works of art to fund normal operating expenses.
Blake Gopnik, author of The Biography of Andy Warhol. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
And the chair of the Art Museum Directors Association said this week the Baltimore Art Museum was violating its guidelines. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.